Taming the Tongue, a Meditation by Reverend John Marcus. We read James 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. What an unruly evil is the tongue! Men have been able to tame all kinds of animals. They can get cockatoos to sing, tigers to jump, elephants to dance, dolphins to flip, and snakes to be charmed. But the tongue is different. It cannot be restrained or controlled to do just what we want it to do. Therefore, it brings forth sinful words that often wreak havoc in our lives and in the lives of others. The tongue is full of killing poison. The inspired James uses some very strong words to describe the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. James 1, verse 5 through 6. Don't let the seriousness of this escape attention. The smallest of flames, started on a tiny little match, is capable of setting an entire forest on fire. So it is with our words. Once we speak evil, we cannot take it back. Sometimes we can limit the damage and the effects will fade, but if conditions are right, the damage can be horrendous and last a lifetime. How great a matter a little fire kindleth! Hatred in our words can cost the very life of our neighbor. The men who accused Naboth of blasphemy against God and the king caused Naboth to be stoned to death through their false witness. But much more common than bearing false witness in the technical sense is the sin of backbiting. How often do our words bite our neighbors behind his back when he cannot defend his good name? Did you hear what so and so did? Then out rolls the tale that drags our neighbor's name through the mud. We may be reporting true facts about our brother or sister in the church, but when they are meant to harm his good name, we have sinned against him. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 18, verse 8. While backbiting is done in relative secrecy, some people are so bold as to hurl false and malicious statements in the presence of their neighbor. Such slander is just another way of harming our neighbor's good name. When we use our tongues to demean others, hatred again rears its ugly head. We might criticize others, even speak true things to them and about them. But if our language is harsh and imbalanced, in other words, always pointing out the faults and never pointing out that which is done well, it is hateful speech. Parents can sometimes demean their children by the way they speak to them, using harsh language or making as if the children will never get it right. Of course, children can pack some pretty potent poison themselves. Perhaps they imagine that name-calling on the playground is mostly harmless fun. Little do they realize the pain and sorrow that just a few words can cause. Sometimes we sin with our tongues by what we don't say or by telling only part of the truth in order to give the wrong impression. Even apart from deceptive words, the tongue often shows hatred towards our neighbor by speaking crude words. Some words have become so common we hardly notice when they are used. Vulgar words and jokes often demean the sanctity of marriage and turn the gift of intimacy into rottenness. Moving into the realm of the spiritual, the tongue is every bit as deadly. The tongue that speaks heresy is full of the same deadly poison of hatred toward God and the neighbor. The tongue that constantly complains about others or about the church and yet refuses to deal with the issues is not showing love, but is, in fact, spreading hateful poison in the church. Even worse, the unruly tongue so easily utters God's name in vain, or says nothing when God's name is taken in vain. Although we sometimes use substitutes like gosh or geez and other words to express amusement or surprise, those substitutes are still connected to God's holy name and therefore still constitute using God's name in vain. On and on we could go about the unruly evil of the tongue. Scripture speaks about the evil tongue in many ways. Mischief and vanity are under it. Psalm 10, verse 7. Like a sharp razor, it works deceitfully, loving, devouring words. Psalm 52, verse 2 and 4. It is sharpened like a sword to inflict maximum damage. Psalm 64, verse 3. It boasts against the heavens. Psalm 73, verse 9. The strange woman uses it to flatter and seduce. Proverbs 6, verse 24. It afflicts others and works ruin. Proverbs 2, verse 16. No wonder the lying tongue, a false witness speaking lies, and one who sows discord among brethren, with his words, are among the seven things that Jehovah counts as abominations. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. How many feelings have been hurt by the tongue? How many relationships have been damaged or destroyed by the tongue? How many are led into evil ways by the tongue? How many churches have suffered because of unruly tongues? How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Where does the tongue get its deadly poisonous fire from? From hell itself. Satan started the fire, as it were, with his own proud boasting. In his rebellion, the devil sought to take Adam and Eve and the whole human race with him. Now, because of Adam's fall into sin, every last person, Christ excepted, is subject to the corruption that is passed down naturally. By nature, our hearts are full of envy, strife, and hatred. No wonder, then, that the Holy Spirit tells us, the tongue can no man tame. No mere man, that is to say, no person, or who participates in the human race, is able to tame the tongue. However, an unruly tongue ought not to be manifested by the child of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James 3, verse 10. Instead, God would have us tame our tongues. Taming the tongue involves turning away from all evil spoken with our tongues. Stop lying. Turn away from false, backbiting, and reproachful words. Turn away from words that stir up anger. Turn away from self-serving or seducing flattery. Stop pouring forth foolish and vain words. Do not allow your tongue to continue uncontrolled. Not only does taming the tongue involve putting off the old man, it also involves putting on the new man. Taming the tongue involves both the putting away of lying as well as the speaking of truth with our neighbor. In other words, God would not only have us avoid using the tongue for evil, he would also have us use the tongue for good, out of love for God and our neighbor. Just as Scripture is not short on passages that condemn the wrong use of the tongue, so too it sheds much light on the proper use of the tongue. Often it contrasts the evil and the good in the same verse. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12, verse 18. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 15, verse 4. While the unruly tongue is horrible, the tame tongue is music to the ears of the godly. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Proverbs 16, verse 24. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Proverbs 25, verse 11 through 12. What does the tongue look like when it is controlled? It speaks the truth uprightly and confesses it. In addition, it defends and promotes the honor and estimation of the neighbor. The tame tongue bears witness to the truth, even though it may bring persecution. How many prophets stood for the truth against wicked kings and paid for it with their lives? John the Baptist is just one of many examples. He condemned Herodias' remarriage to Herod and lost his head for it. How many churches will experience persecution when they continue to condemn the vile sins of today's culture? Instead of cutting our neighbor down with our words, the tongue that is controlled will speak that which is good to the use of edifying, seeking to minister grace to the hearers, no matter what their age or their relationship to us. Confer Ephesians 4, verse 29. Instead of speaking gossip and slander, the controlled tongue will wisely reprove those who are walking in sin. Know that such wounds are faithful when administered in love. Confer Proverbs 25, verse 12, and 27, verse 6. The controlled tongue not only speaks the truth with the right goal, it speaks those words as gently and lovingly as possible. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. The tame tongue will use the truth of God's word for communicating instruction to those who are ignorant, for convicting of sin, for leading to amendment of life, and for teaching what is right and good in God's eyes. Confer 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. But is such taming of the tongue even possible? Does not this text declare, "The tongue can no man tame"? Indeed, it is so. No person participating in the human race by nature can control the tongue so as to use it in love for God and the neighbor. Romans tells us, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Romans 3, verse 12b through 13. The tongue can no man tame. But the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 18, verse 27. What is impossible in us by nature, God brings about by His grace, which is ours in Christ Jesus. It is God, then, who graciously works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 13. Where can we obtain the practical knowledge and strength to grow in the right use of our tongues? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1, verse 5. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. Do we desire to have a tongue that is tamed? That in itself is already a sign of God's work in our hearts. May God continue to work in us, giving to us that which we ask for in faith, that we may ever use our tongues for the good of our neighbor and the praise of His name.